Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? From Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it had been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Before I begin my sermon this morning, I just want to take a moment to say how delighted I am to have my family here for this service today. We don't often have opportunities to worship all together, but our daughter Jennifer and her husband Galen and daughter Chloe are here. The little one is with Grammy, I think, in the nursery somewhere. And also our daughter Rachel and her husband Richie are with us too. And it's just such a rare opportunity, and I'm so grateful that you're all here together today. And I didn't realize when I prepared this message that actually Jennifer and Galen are in my sermon. And maybe some other things will come into it too, knowing that they're all here. But actually, as we typically do, we have an insert with some teaching notes for my sermon today, and I would invite you to follow along. And also, we're going to have some opportunity to sing during the sermon, and the hymn that we're going to be incorporating into the message is "We Three Kings." And if you want the notes to that, it's page 254 in the hymnal. Several weeks ago, our daughter Jennifer and her husband Galen attended a big reveal party at the home of an expectant couple who happened to be Galen's sister and brother-in-law. And they had been told the gender of their baby, and they wanted to share the news. And so at this party, they served cupcakes. And when the big moment arrived, everyone bit into the cupcake for the big reveal, which was bright blue cream. So it's a boy. But big reveals are very popular these days. When brides-to-be find the dress, they will invite their wedding party and perhaps some other friends to the big reveal. Ordinary women get makeovers on daytime television shows and come out from backstage for the big reveal, looking so glamorous at the end. Contestants on weight loss programs have the big reveal after weeks of diet and exercise. And then there are those many, many home improvement shows that always climax with the big reveal when the family sees the magnificent transformation of their house. Big reveals are popular, I think, because they're dramatic and they're exciting. Now, as followers of Jesus, we celebrate the big reveal above all big reveals. The manifestation of God in Jesus Christ. The season of Epiphany begins this week on January the 6th and continues on until March 1st, which is Ash Wednesday. And during this season, I invite you to join me as we dig into the Gospel of Matthew and focus on the big reveal of Jesus. We'll be focusing on what Matthew tells us about who Jesus is and what that means for us. And today, as you can see in number one in your notes, we're going to focus on the first big reveal of this season of Epiphany. And the first big reveal is not the birth of Jesus, but it's this scene that we read from Matthew 2, which was the confirmation of his true identity as King of the Jews by the Magi. Now, the wise men are mentioned only in Matthew's gospel, and what Matthew tells us about them is very brief and very cryptic, mysterious. And yet the story of their visit to the Christ child is filled with such rich symbols that reveal to us who Jesus is and what that means for us. Now, this familiar carol by John Hopkins expresses a lot about the symbolism of this story. And I'm going to ask that we sing it together this morning with Gail helping us as we journey through this great story together. And let's begin with verse 1 of this hymn. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Now, the Christian tradition assumes that there were three wise men, probably because they offered three gifts to the Christ child. But Matthew doesn't really tell us how many wise men there were. And nor does he tell us exactly where they came from, just that they came from the east. The tradition also assumes that these three, as the hymn tells us, were kings. But scholars believe it's more likely that they were astronomers, that they were stargazers who looked to the sky for signs that would reveal the future. Now, the star led foreign astronomers to Bethlehem. The Magi who see the sign of the Messiah's birth are really strangers in Jerusalem. And this is a very important fact because they are out-of-town visitors. They are foreigners, outsiders. The wise men see what not even the wisest scholars among the Jews are able to see. They're not Jewish, but they see the star, and they come to worship the newborn king. Now, this is important that they come from out of town because it reminds us that Jesus, the Messiah, is not just a Messiah for some people, but for all people, for the whole world. Matthew interprets the visit of the wise men as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And in Isaiah chapter 60, the prophet tells us this about the Messiah that is to come. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So Jesus, God's Messiah, is shining as a light to the nations. He came into this world not just for some of us, but for all of us. And this bright and shining star, appearing to these stargazers from far away, shows us that all of us are loved. Every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what background we're from, whether we love God or whether we don't even know God, we are still loved by the amazing grace that was extended to everyone in this child of Bethlehem. And so the wise men come from the east, foreigners, to reveal to the world the light that is shining. And as they come, as you know, they are coming, bringing this chest filled with gifts. And as we focus in on those gifts, the first gift they bring is gold. Let's sing verse 2. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceed. Now, if you were to bring a gift for a baby, gold might not be the first thing that would come to your mind. You might be thinking of diapers or little onesies or whatever we give to newborns. And yet, the Magi bring gold. And some suggest that this really was a very practical gift. Because Matthew tells us that soon after the Magi return home, an angel warns Joseph in a dream of Herod's plan to kill the Christ child. And the angel instructs Joseph to flee with the Holy Family to Egypt. And so the gold would provide for them during their time as refugees in a foreign place. So gold is a practical gift. But as we remember the story, we recognize that this gold is more than that. That gold here is also a powerful symbol for us of who Jesus is. Gold is a gift, as we just sang, for a king. Now there are really two kings in this story. There is Jesus, and there is Herod. Thinking of Herod, Professor Alice McKenzie says that when the wise men came into Jerusalem, it is as if they are walking barefoot into a snake pit. It's as if they had bought something on Craigslist and had agreed to meet the seller at a certain location, only to find themselves in the middle of a drug deal. The wise men come to Herod asking an innocent question. Where is the king of the Jews? And soon they find themselves in front of this vengeful king who is trying to deceive them by pretending that he too wants to worship this Christ whom he really wants to destroy. King Herod, who holds the title King of the Jews, uses his position, his authority, and his wealth to control others and to keep his grip on power. But King Jesus, the Messiah whom Matthew proclaims, comes into this world in humility, as a helpless baby. And his reign is marked by sacrificial love, by healing of the broken, by lifting up the downtrodden, by bringing peace in the world. And so the Magi bring gold for King Jesus as a symbol that his reign, the coming of God's kingdom into this world, will turn everything in the direction that God desires it to be. And then this gold symbolizes something else. It reminds us that Jesus Christ is Lord. The gift of gold calls us to consider our priorities as we begin this new year. Gold represents for us what we hold to be of the greatest value. The Magi brought gold as a sign of their great loyalty to the newborn king, and we are called also to bring our first and our best to King Jesus. Perhaps you remember how in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus challenges us to examine our loyalties. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so the Magi would ask us if we would recognize and honor King Jesus with our gold. Whatever that means for us, will we honor him as King forever, ceasing never over us all to reign? And so the first gift of the Magi is gold. And then they bring a second gift, which is the gift of frankincense. Let's sing the third verse of this hymn.
Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, voices raising, worshiping God on high. Star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Now, frankincense is a rare, precious oil that comes from a tree that would be found only in the East, in Asia, where the Magi had come from. And in ancient times, it was actually used in some practical ways for healing. The incense was known to relieve cough and congestion. The essential oil was used for therapeutic massage. It also was used as a facial cream and had some anti-aging properties. Maybe we can find some frankincense. But more importantly, and the reason the Magi brought frankincense to the Christ child is because it is known throughout the Bible as a symbol of prayer and worship. And the smell of burning incense in the temple was a powerful reminder to all who gathered in God's sanctuary that they were in the presence of Almighty God. And so frankincense is a gift for a deity. And it reminds us that in Jesus, we see God incarnate. When the Magi offer incense, they recognize that they are in the presence of the Holy. And this newborn king is no mere earthly ruler, but a heavenly one. He is the Son of God. This is what John's Gospel declares in that great hymn with which he begins in John chapter 1. And let's read John 1:14 together. "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Now I wonder, as we focus on the Magi today, what it looks like for you when you enter this place of worship. Do we come with that same sense of the holy mystery of God that the wise men had when they came into the presence of Christ? Do we come offering the incense of our expectancy, of our adoration, with prayer and praising, voices raising, worshiping God on high? The Magi remind us that we do not come to worship to be entertained or amused or even instructed, although these things might happen when we're together. But really we come to meet the Lord, to encounter the one who in majesty reigns. Whenever we enter the sanctuary for worship, we might ask what the psalmist did long ago. The psalmist says in Psalm 141, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice." So we have gold for a king, and we have frankincense for a deity. And then the Magi bring a third gift, and this is the strangest of the three, the gift of myrrh. Let's sing verse 4 together.
Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Now we might wonder what kind of gift myrrh is for a newborn. Myrrh, the spice that was used to prepare a body for burial. Death is usually the furthest thing from our minds when we are welcoming a new child into this world. And yet, mysteriously, the Magi bring a gift for a child whom we know is destined to die for the salvation of the world. He will not die in the massacre of little children by King Herod, but he will die on a cross to bring salvation for us all. Myrrh is a gift for a crucified Messiah. And it reminds us that Jesus was born to save. Again and again, we find testimony to this in the New Testament. Paul writes to young Timothy in the first chapter, verse 15, "The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Here, at the beginning of his life, the shadow of the cross is looming. And like the wise men long ago, whenever we gather to worship our Christ, we are also reminded of the great sacrifice he made for us and for the world. In writing to the church at Corinth, Paul gives us instruction about the meaning of Holy Communion, and he says this, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Even at the most joyous times, and Holy Communion ought to be a time of great joy in the Lord's presence, we never forget the price that Jesus paid to reconcile all of us to God. We come in humble thanksgiving, remembering what Jesus has done for us, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, his body sealed in a stone cold tomb. Now, thankfully, this beloved hymn does not end in sorrow, but reminds us of the great victorious joy of our risen Lord. Let's sing verse 5.
Glorious now, behold him arise.
In telling this story, Matthew uses a particular Greek word three different times to describe the posture of those who are in the presence of Christ. The word is proskuneo, and it means literally to kneel. To kneel at the feet of a king. And it reminds us, as we celebrate the Epiphany of God in Christ, that we are called to give not just our gifts, but ourselves to Jesus. The Magi kneel in humility, bringing gold as a sign of their loyalty to the newborn King who is Lord of all. The Magi kneel in worship, bringing frankincense to offer prayers and praises to the Word who has come to dwell among us. And the Magi kneel even in sorrow, bringing myrrh for a crucified Messiah who would one day bring salvation to the world. friends, on this New Year's Day, as we start 2017, may we keep ever before us the big reveal that God has made in Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we begin this new year gathering here at the Lord's table, may we follow the example of the wise men. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Savior. May each day of this new year be an opportunity for us to kneel, to offer our whole lives to Jesus. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and all who intend from this time forth to lead a life as His disciples, where we would grow in love for God and for each other.